Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
An unmistakable voice, an unmistakable sound. Roy Orbison with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Pretty Woman. 28 years ago, Roy Orbison passed, the great Roy Orbison. Hard to believe, but it's hardly forgotten. He became one of the pioneers of rock and roll in the 50s, sharing the famous Sun Records with Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash. The authorised biography written by his sons, Roy Jr., Alex and Wesley, along with Jeff Slate, tells the true story of their father's remarkable life. Alex and Wesley also talking about the release at the beginning of November of A Love So Beautiful. That's a track you just heard from it exclusively, I think, for the first time in Spain. Roy Orbison with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome live on the line from the United States, Wesley, Roy Jr. and Alex Orbison. Gentlemen, good morning to you there. Good afternoon over here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you all with us. The voice is unmistakable. The sound is something spectacular. What drove you then? Why this book? Why now? And what makes it so different from the other books that have been written about your father, who was so influential?
Well, we feel the time is perfect to have a book right now, and frankly, it's the first time possible that we were able to get this book together. You know, it takes so much time and resource to actually see the book all the way through, and the comparison to this book and other books that have been written about our father, there's almost no comparison, just because none of the people that wrote the books when my dad was alive actually reached out to talk to him in first person. And so a lot of it just seemed like second party conjecture compared to here. We went to the source. And one great advantage we had was we had a researcher who we teamed up with who did the research for this book for now it's been 18 years that he's been collecting every verified piece of paper and receipt. And so we not only have the stories, but we have the verification to back it up.
I mean, was it like going through? Because I suppose the thing is that everybody thinks they know your father, and they know the music, and the image is iconic. The voice is something spectacular. The subject matter wasn't the usual rock and roll fare. So was it a case of you having to dismantle what a lot of people thought about your father and the father that you knew and loved?
Hey, this is Roy talking, Roy Jr., and good to be with you. Yes, that was a big part of it. To set the record straight is an obvious goal of the book. But it was a labor of love. Writing it with Alex and Wesley made it really special. We have a lot of pictures in there to back up what we were writing about and to make it more interesting and entertaining. So one of my goals for the book, I wanted to make a book that you could listen to Roy while you're reading it. Just put it on Roy Orbison repeat and listen to the music as you flip through the book. So we wanted it to be entertaining as well. The facts in it, we tried to show Roy as a human being and his personality, his sense of humor. And there are a lot of little gotcha moments. You know, Roy was the first person to have a hit with the song Love Hurts, or Roy invented sunglasses, or all these kind of things. So there was a lot to tell, and there's nearly every page has a surprise, a new perspective that you haven't heard about Roy Orbison.
And I mean, what's it like gathering? Because this was a project that your father had apparently started work on, and that your mother continued. So what was it like taking on that family button? It must have been a highly emotionally charged thing for you boys to do.
Oh yes, if we talk too directly about it, we'll start crying, every one of us. But it's also it's a joy, you know. Not many sons have that many pictures and that many recordings of the voice, you know, of their parents and of their father. So we spend every day with him. There's not a day that goes by that we don't interact with him and learn something new. So it's what we would do anyways. It's what we do even when we aren't having a book. Roy's still with us, and we love him and miss him. And this was just something, really, we did it for the fans. Roy has so many fans around the world that have stuck with him for 50 years with no book. There's no artist like that. So people deserve this. His story deserves to be told. He was a great artist like Charlie Parker or Picasso. And it's a fascinating story with some tragedies and some heart attacks. And, you know, it ranges from Sun Records with Elvis and Johnny Cash to the Traveling Wilburys and Bruce Springsteen. So and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes pictures and stories in there.
I mean, I think perhaps that's one of the things is that people, and I don't miss this way, but people tend to seeing only the sadness with Roy, and your book goes behind that and finds some of the joy as well.
Yeah, and so when we represent our dad, you know, we look back over the years. One of the things that, for me personally, and this is Alex talking, is when you listen to the interviews, normally my dad's in a good mood, and then the interviewer says, Roy, you're this sad guy, you know, what's it like, you have these sad songs, and you know, my dad kind of immediately goes, well, you know, I feel pretty good right now, and then they keep going, and they never get to the core of his personality. And so the book is imperative to get, you know, a lot of the interviews didn't ask him, you know, what music are you listening to now, or what are your dreams and goals, you know, now that you're 40 or 45, or what, you know, a little bit was lost just because people painted him with that same picture. And a lot of people are shocked to find out what a great sense of humor our dad had, and the fact that he was running through those Monty Python skits with the Traveling Wilburys and kind of just could be this really light, you know, person who you gravitated toward, you know, when I think people just imagine that he was sulking all the time or something.
Yeah, there's a sort of man in black sort of. But what was it like to have him as a father? Because when I speak to children of other musicians of the time, they say, well, he was never around. He was always on the road. We never really saw him. Was your dad much more of a present? Was he around much more for you guys, or did he take you on the road, or did you learn to appreciate him when he was back home?
Well, a little bit of both, you know. When he was gone, we sure missed him, and there were times that he was gone for 3 weeks or even months at a time. But when he was home, he was really an active, loving father and really involved with our lives, you know, helping us with homework and giving us advice about girls. And
that must have been great, getting your advice from Roy Orbison about girls. I mean, you know, write them a decent song and they'll fall for you.
Great. Oh, I thought we were going to introduce some.
No. Was that his sort of advice to you, or how would he give you advice on girls?
How
would
he give you advice? Oh, he.
I think for me, his thing was to do it right the first time, you know. And so, I think as Orbisons, we're totally like shortcutters. You know, we like to take shortcuts or try to, you know, especially being young and in relationships, you kind of wonder what's going on. And I think my dad somehow, even though he was such a mellow, mild character, he really had this purpose and direction and intensity with everything he did. And so I think that he brought that to relationships and tried to convey that to us.
When I speak with people who write biographies about rock stars, I always say, you know, how was your working progress, and how what was it like going through all the photographs, all the concerts, all the, you know, all the tickets, the concert bills, that sort of thing, the posters and the memorabilia. It must have been quite different for you guys, because obviously there's an intense personal connection there, and just going through the photographs and the archives must have taken an immense amount of time and brought back an immense amount of memories. Was there anything there that made you sit up and go, wow, that's an image that I forgot, or I'm in with it, we're in this image with Dad, or something along that?
Well, this is Roy speaking. For instance, at the Black and White Night, I remember sitting near Billy Idol, and he had this spiky hair like my brother Alex, and I know he was there, but I haven't seen any pictures of that. You open the book, and one of the first pictures you see is Alex and Billy Idol and Roy. And that makes me laugh. That's one of my favorite pictures in the book. I went, oh, I would love seeing that. So it was like seeing an old friend. But we, as Alex said, we had help with a researcher who's Marcel. He's put in 18 years off and on finding and verifying the facts that are in the book. We had a great writer, Jeff Slate. He's a rock and roll journalist who helped us consolidate the writing and put it into a palatable professional, you know, format. Hachette is the company that helped us do the book. And so you were asking about the archiving and then looking through and finding personal things. It was a group effort by a lot of people. But yes, there were tears and laughter and, you know, some of the darkness you don't want to get into. And it talks about Roy having a heart attack and being back out on the road in 3 weeks and things. You go, oh, wow. Roy Orbison had a heart attack and was on the road in 3 weeks. That's very personal stuff for us. But in Roy's life, we have a couple of sayings. One of the things we've been saying is, the dirt in this book is real dirt. Roy came from Texas, and he was a very poor kid. And to see his rise, that's the part, to see before the sunglasses, while he was still a teenager, playing guitar in the Teen Kings, one of the first rock and roll teen bands ever. And his geographical progression from Texas to Tennessee to California to London, you know, and the music and the pictures growing along with it. We're very proud of this book.
And what was it like? Because apparently, looking at the press notes, you guys all have different working patterns. Some of you are morning people. One of you is an evening person. So did you do shift work on this? Because some of you just can't get up in the mornings.
Yeah, and this is Alex, so I'm the emailer, so I do the email. and so I'm going to pass the phone to Roy Jr., who just had a son, Roy Orbison III, and so Roy gets up a little earlier.
Yes, I'm actually a night owl. I developed that from my dad to get his love and attention. I would be up at night because Elvis and Roy Orbison, they're the two rockers that kind of made it fashionable to be up at night. I mean, for everybody, for all the rest, the cliche of the all-night-long party guys, that comes from Elvis and Roy. Not so much that they were party guys, but they did their craft. They liked to record in the studio at midnight and that kind of stuff. So Roy was a night owl. Wesley and I think all of us got that. But Alex is really functional, so he's up in the morning. And as Alex just said, my baby, Roy III, that's Roy Orbison III. I repeat it because it's shocking to people sometimes. He's 1.5 years old, so I've had to learn to get up at 6 in the morning to change diapers. So I'm up in the morning early, and then Wesley's here. Let me have Wesley talk to you a little bit. He's a great songwriter and guitarist. So,
yeah, hi, it's Wesley.
Hi, Wesley.
I want to say that dark image, you know, is not the father that I knew. Gosh, he had number one hits throughout his life, recorded albums every year, sold out tours, you know. He was on top of the world most of the time, you know, and just the fact that tragedy strikes in people's lives, you know, it's just there's a balance that happens. And, he was a terrific, terrific father.
Absolutely, and the tragic thing, of course, was, you know, his star was ascendant again when his life was cut short at the age of 52, and that is an absolute tragic. That must have been very impossible, very difficult for you boys to write about and remember.
You know, it shattered us as obviously as sons, you know, really, it's you know, there's a duality here because, of course, we lost our father, but even if he wasn't your father, Roy Orbison was such a special guy. Every person that waited, you know, if my dad had 102 fever, and I'm sorry because we're American, so, you know, if my dad had a high fever and was sick,
yeah,
people waiting, if the car pulled up at the airport, the people would be waiting, and my dad would be, you know, literally delusional from a fever and would stop for 10 minutes and sign things and say hello. Like, he was just the nicest guy. And so losing him, of course, was very, very tragic. You know, now we're faced with, you know, losing Tom Petty so early, and I don't know what it is about these amazing people, but...
you're not going to believe this. The news is breaking now that Fats Domino has just passed, getting on the wires. Yeah, 89.
Man, I didn't know that.
Just broken now.
Yeah, you know, I really grew up on Fats Domino, and one of the great moments of my life, and I can't remember when it was, but it must have been 94 or something like that, or 93. They did the Fats Domino box set, and that was in the high era of CD box sets. And so having his entire work in one place was like the best thing of those years of my life. And, you know, of course, driving then, we didn't have satellite radio, so you had to really select your music, and we were touring in my own band, and so we just listened to Fats Domino, and you know, Fats seemed to have a nice, long, full life. In contrast, losing Petty, you know, just above the age of 60, and our father at 52, you know, it really, every day is a gift, and that's kind of why we work together and love each other. And even though we're brothers and sometimes we have disagreements, they're normally very short-lived. And one thing our dad imparted to us is just that, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, when you go to sleep, you just have good feelings because you never know what the next day is going to bring with your relationships with people and you know, that kind of.
The other thing that must really bring you, you know, some sort of solace, if like, and consolation, is the fact that, well, for first of all, we've got this wonderful album coming out in November called A Love So Beautiful with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Absolutely beautifully rich album, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Really, I mean, I'm going to play a track when we finish, which we're going to. We're going to run out of time in about 10 minutes or so because we could speak all day about this one. But also, and I'm going to play out with "I Love So Beautiful" when we finish the interview. But also, if you look at the regard to in which your father was held by not only the fans and not only his friends, but fellow musicians, and the way that they speak about him. There's a thing about Elvis coming backstage and saying, "Marvelous show, I'll tell you one thing, if you were just that good, I'd never appear on stage with you." The way that people like Robert Plant, that K.D. Lang, that contemporary musicians go back to his stage presence and his craft and his songwriting again, and this is something I think which comes through in the book and will come through with the album.
Oh, yes, well, from Buddy Holly to Bruno Mars, they all love Roy. On Buddy Holly's first album, 1957, there's two Roy Orbison songs. And Roy was always flattered by that. He was a big fan of a lot of the guys, too, so that went both ways. And his relationships with Johnny Cash and the Beatles, that ebb and flow, they influenced him, he influenced them, and we love them all. But it is remarkable. It's kind of like our dad was in the right place at the right time his whole life. You know, from Sun Records to Monument to Malibu, California, he just always seemed to be at the right place at the right time. And it's hard to tell whether he created that or whether that created him. But we are left with a long, rich history.
It's a history I think where people will be able to explore in the book, the first official biography coming out, that this autumn, Roy Orbison. It's by Alex Wesley and Roy Jr. Gentlemen, if people want to find out more about the book and the album, presumably there is a website they can go to, there is social media they can check, so they can follow the book and find out more about this influential, is not even the word for the legend that is Roy.
Yep.
Oh yes, royorbison.com and the Big Four, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and Alex and Wesley and I all have our own things too, but please go to check out royorbison.com. Thank you for that.
Will do. If there's two things I'll take away. This is just this great, you just said a great quote from Buddy Holly to Bruno Mars. They've all been influenced by Roy, which I think I'll take. And the warmest thing I think is there is a Roy Orbison III, which is making me smile my little what's-its off. So, you know, absolutely wonderful news. The book is called The Authorised Roy Orbison. It's out on Centre Street on the 26th, which is tomorrow. You can obviously download it via the Talk Radio Bookshop as well. Alex, Wesley and Roy Jr., thank you so much for your time. It's been an honour. What are you guys up to for the next 24 hours or for the rest of the year?
You know, we just did a video for Oh Pretty Woman with the Royal Philharmonic, and it features Wesley and Roy Jr. and myself as the band. But not only that, Roy Orbison III plays guitar on the opening note and plays a tambourine. And the video is hilarious. Literally, this is the cutest kid ever. And so we're with the baby, and we're in Austin, Texas, and we're receiving an award for the Austin City Limits Hall of Fame, and we are doing press until we can't talk anymore. And we're so excited about this record, and we're so excited about the book, and we have a hologram tour coming to the, you know, through the UK and hopefully globally too. And so we have a single with a band called Ward Thomas out of the UK. It's called I Drove All Night, and we're really, really just, you know, things are good here in Orbison world, and we're just happy to talk to you and have people that enjoy our dad still. It really means a lot to us.
We really do. Things are good in the Orbison world. It's been a pleasure and my privilege, honestly, to speak to you. The book is called The Authorised Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison Jr., Wesley Orbison, and Alex Orbison, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.